Wait, I'm recording, right? Yeah, that would really suck. All right.
That would be important.
This is Caps PA announcer Wes Johnson, and you're listening to For the Pod!
Hello, everybody, and welcome to a brand new edition of What the Puck. It is a Washington Capitals podcast. Thank you for listening to us on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, TuneIn, Player.fm, Overcast, and Google Play Music. I've done some investigating. It turns out Satchel went out of business in December 2018. So you have not been able to hear us on Satchel for a very long time. But the season has started.
We tried to bring it back.
Which we should buy Satchel. It seemed to have worked so well for the other investors there. But the season has started. The Capitals are playing real hockey, and we've seen three games so far, and we are going to discuss those three games. Joining me, as always, Coach Dan. What's going on, man?
Not too much. How you doing?
I'm tired. I really hate the commute from the beach to Baltimore. It is 6 hours now instead of the normal 2.5 to 3. So suck it, Maryland Highway Administration. You blow. But other than that, I'm good. So I went down to the beach this past Friday night, and I listened to the entire Capitals game against the Islanders on the road because it took me over 4 hours to get to the beach on Friday night, which was ridiculous. But let's talk a little bit about Caps hockey. We've seen three games. The Capitals are 2-1 right now, and they were able to play spoiler to the St. Louis Blues. Have you watched all three games? Is there anything that really jumps out at you just from this short sample size we have right now?
So I watched all three. I did not catch the first period of the Islander game. So I missed the goal against Samsonov. I saw the highlights or a replay, I guess. I saw the team play, and there were some good, some bad, and some just tired legs by the end of it.
So we have two games that have gone to overtime, and one went to...
Shocking with this team!
One went the Caps' way, one did not.
Can someone do some research and find out, has this team gone to overtime more than any other team in the last few years? I'm very curious.
I feel like to figure out those numbers, you're going to have to charge your company overtime because it's going to take a while to figure that out. Get that time and a half.
There's got to be some way to find out.
I don't know. But it seems as if the hero of Game 1 against the St. Louis Blues was Jakub Vrána. This guy's showing off and showing why he's the future of the organization, and it seems to really impress a lot of people. What did you think of Jakub Vrána's first couple games here?
Well, he's played well. I think the lines haven't really settled because Kuznetsov hasn't come back yet, and so I think it's always hard when you're playing with a different center. I think when you mesh well with guys that they kind of know where you want the puck and how they want it. You know, some guys, I guess, might like the puck to get there a little faster. Some might like it, maybe a little bit of a softer pass. So, I mean, in the end, you've got to take a shot with what you get. But the reality is different guys have are better at different passes or different things. And I think that with Eller playing with him, it seemed to work out for the most part. You know, this team isn't exactly not scoring goals. When you go 2-0-1 in your first three games, you get 5 out of 6 possible points. That's still pretty good, even if two of them went to overtime. And one of the ones that went to overtime was your third game in 4 nights, so you're a little tired by that point. But I thought in regards to Vrána, I think he's playing well. I think he is one of the stars, not only on this team, but for the future, kind of like you said. And it's going to be interesting to see who they start to build this team around once Ovechkin and Backstrom hang up their skates. As you imagine, it's because Kuznetsov and Vrána are their two main guys are going to be able to try and build this team around as they look for the next level of role players.
It's interesting to think about that because you know, I have to think Ovi and Backe. They're probably looking at contracts probably around five to six years in the future. And you're probably going to see Jakub Vrána there for a little bit longer. But last show, we talked about who was going to back up Braden Holtby. Was it going to be Phoenix Copley? Was it going to be Samsonov? Phoenix Copley went through waivers, stayed in the organization. He is a Hershey Bear, but we do have Ilya Samsonov as the new backup. And luckily enough, due to back-to-back games, we were able to see the backup Samsonov in a game on Friday night up against the Islanders. What did you think? I mean, Ryan Drury, our buddy of the show, has brought up Samsonov in years and years and years. We've kind of seen his highlights from the World Juniors and a couple other KHL games. Got to see him a little bit in Hershey last year, but this is his first time up in the big leagues. What did you think of Samsonov on Friday night?
I think Ryan's got money on this dude somehow.
You think so?
He's put a bet down or something because he has been selling this dude ever since, like, probably before he got drafted. Ryan's a huge fan of this guy, and from everything I saw, it seems like he's going to be a heck of a goaltender in the NHL. I think he's definitely got a bright future ahead of him if he continues to progress. I was a little concerned with his positioning and the fact that he was having to use his athleticism and sort of acrobatic moves at times to make some saves. You know what he kind of reminds me of, actually, when I was watching that game, is Varlamov.
Really?
Varlamov made some amazing saves. But the reason he had to make some amazing saves, partially because the defense wasn't as good as it probably should have been, but also because he may not have been the best positionally, which is interesting because wasn't he playing Varlamov now with the Islanders?
Yeah, that's who he was up
against. I didn't even notice that until right now. Anyways, so it reminds me of Varlamov a bit when Varlamov was playing with the Caps because sometimes his positioning may not have been the best, but he was athletic enough and quick enough to be able to get back in a position really quickly. So Varlamov's had a heck of a career, you know, wife beating aside. And I think that Samsonov's definitely got a future. And I think if he continues to play well with the opportunities that he's given, the Caps are going to have a real interesting decision to make come trade deadline, but more likely in the offseason regarding Braden Holtby.
Yeah, I mean, this honestly, between these two guys, Braden Holtby, of course, he is going to be your number one guy. However, you got to worry about that price tag with Braden Holtby. I feel as if that's going to be a storyline that we cover throughout this entire year. We'll see what happens. But just looking forward a couple weeks, at the end of October, there is another back-to-back, the Edmonton Oilers against and then the Vancouver Canucks the next night. Who do you have play against who in that back-to-back?
What's the order again?
You have Edmonton on Thursday night in Edmonton, and then you have Vancouver, the Canucks in Vancouver, the next night on the 25th.
I was about to say Varlamov. Samsonov. Yeah, I mean, I'll put the kid up against the Oilers.
How come?
Even if it is Connor McDavid, because I think they're worse than the Canucks. And so I figure And I figure, why not? I don't remember how either one of those teams did last season. But otherwise, I wouldn't at all be surprised to see the kid get this, which means now it's not going to happen. But I wouldn't be surprised to see the kid get the start against the Oilers and then Holtby against the Canucks.
Now, just looking at Phoenix Copley, he was sent down. He passed through waivers. He made it through. Nobody picked him up. And I got to tell you, I am a little surprised about that. He is a solid backup goaltender. But the Hershey Bears system, I mean, they haven't looked the greatest in the last couple years, but they've got a couple Stanley Cup champions now. Phoenix Copley he's on the cup. He's now in Hershey. They've got Christian Juice, Travis Boyd, who we're going to talk a little bit about. All those guys hoisted the Stanley Cup, and now they're Hershey Bears. I know we're going to go down on the farm in a little bit, but this has got to be huge. And I mean, the Hershey Bears coach has to have a huge smile on his face that he's got a bunch of players that have hoisted that cup now on his team.
Not based on their record right now.
Oh, really? Okay, well, we'll learn about
that. We'll talk about that in a few minutes. But I mean, look at the Bears. They've only played two games, and like I said, we'll talk about it in a few minutes. But they, you know, Copley is back after playing last season with the Caps. You've got We can talk about these guys in a minute, but Travis Boyd, he cleared waivers and got sent down. Martin Fehervari got sent down after playing the first three games with the Caps, and I actually thought he looked pretty good. I think if it wasn't for this sort of salary cap situation that they're in right now, he might have actually had an opportunity to stay. But he'll get probably more minutes playing on a Hershey team that hopefully can make more noise than they did last year and have an opportunity to continue to grow and probably be with his team next season. And then they have Christian Juice down there. He has his name on the cup. As well as Jonas Engenthaler is when he got sent down. Tyler Lewington looks like he's going to play actually against Dallas on Tuesday. So that's pretty interesting. But no, I mean, Hershey's definitely got a decent roster in terms of goaltending between Copley and Vanacek. And then you've got a nice defensive core, I have to imagine, with Fehervari and Copley, who I believe scored the other night, actually.
Copley scored?
I'm sorry, not Copley. Juice.
Okay.
Juice scored the other night, and a couple other guys down there. So, I have to imagine this is going to be a Hershey team that, once it settles, is going to do quite well. But, you know, we haven't really seen the Caps draft a lot of goal-scoring prospect forwards recently until this just prior draft with, what's his name, McMichael. And so we'll see how – I don't think he's playing with the Bears, though, is he? I haven't checked. Moving on. So either way, so we'll see. I'll get up in a minute. But we'll see what happens on there. But in regards to the Caps, that wasn't really who we were talking about. But, you know, the roster is kind of getting settled, but they're in an interesting salary cap situation right now. I mean, they're right up against it with Kuznetsov back and Kempny likely back. And it's just – it doesn't sound like Kempny's going to play in against Dallas. But is that in Dallas or is that at home? I think that's in Dallas. No, sorry, that's at home. Yeah, then they go to Nashville on Thursday.
Yeah.
Then they go to Dallas on Saturday. Weird. Anyways, so it sounds like he's not going to play against Dallas at home. He's probably going to play against Nashville, that being Michael Kempny. Which means, I'm guessing, that Lewington then gets sent down afterwards. And so I guess we'll see what they decide to do. But this team is definitely in some salary cap issues, or has some salary cap issues. And I don't think it's going to end after the season, barring not re-signing either Nicholas Backstrom or Braden Holtby.
Now, let's talk a little about Yevgeny Kuznetsov coming back. Yevgeny Kuznetsov suspended due to cocaine. And
should I make more sniffing jokes?
You keep going. And but he's practicing with the team, and we're expecting him to come back from this suspension, and they actually have him centering the third line. So you were discussing a little bit about what it meant to have Yevgeny Kuznetsov back in the lineup. With him now centering the third line, do you see anybody else moving around, and are you surprised that he's centering the third and not the normal second line like he has in the past?
Nah, it's his first game back. I haven't played in a while in terms of a game. So I'm not overly shocked, necessarily. Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised if he ended up not on the third line at some point during the game and got moved up. I think if the offensive production is slow, then we'll see him get moved up and put with either the top line with Ovechkin or the second line with Vrana. And Oshie, and so it wouldn't necessarily shock me if they tried to mix things up if the offensive guys are struggling a little bit. I think he's on the third line just to get him back, get his legs going, get him back in a little bit in the game shape. I know he had a preseason, but he missed the last three games, and so he's going to take a little bit, you know, hopefully a half a period or so to kind of get back into the flow, and then I think he'll probably end up back on the second line. So I wouldn't be at all surprised to see him back on the second line and Heller on the third line at some point during tomorrow night's game.
So during the game. So you think this is all going to switch up during the game?
I wouldn't be surprised. I mean, I think if they go out and they're up in the first 5 minutes, they're up 3-0. I'm sure Reardon's going to be like, all right, touch nothing. No one talk to anyone. Just let them play because it seems to be working. But no, I think if they struggle, they're going to mix up the lines a little bit and get, you know, because Nesov shows that it's working out. You know, and he's getting his legs back, and he's like, all right, well, let's put him back where he should be, because the guy is definitely not a third liner, even if he is a moron. So, I don't know. We'll see.
We definitely saw the Capitals looking really good and then letting the game kind of get away from them on Saturday at the home opener. And
they lost their legs, I think. Some of the guys are still pretty fast, but sorry to interrupt. I think they just lost their legs.
Yeah, the Capitals were doing really well against Carolina, but Carolina seems to be the Capital killer recently. I don't know when this happened.
No. Dude, settle down.
I mean,
if that was not a third game in four nights, Caps win that game.
You think?
Yeah.
You think just because they're just tired? If they had another day off, they would have been fine?
Well, I don't know about fine. I'm still would have some issues. I think they still win that game.
I
think they got tired.
I was surprised because they came out strong. They had the home ice advantage. Well,
yeah, it's a home opener.
They got a new puppy, so they got to play with the puppy beforehand. I mean, that would make me pretty happy. But I was surprised to see it go down the way they did. I was at Alley-Oops in Ocean City, and I felt pretty confident. I was bowling a little bit watching the game, and everything seemed to be all hunky-dory. And then I pay for a couple drinks, and I go back to the condo and turn on the game, and now we're in overtime, and the Carolina Hurricanes get one shot in overtime. One shot, and it goes in.
Yeah, dude, when he said something along the lines of the Caps have had like seven shots of their zero, I was like, God, dude, you just jinxed it. And like, they're definitely going to score on their first shot. And then lo and behold, they scored on their first shot.
First shot, and the Capitals, were they on a power play or had just finished a power play?
No, I think it was after the power play. It was after, I believe it was after the power play. Yeah, because Stahl, I'm mixing up for it. I think it was Stahl was in the box. He came out. And there, I think Beninati or someone was like, oh, watch out. And then like a minute or so later, I think they scored.
Yeah, that's very upsetting. I mean, you hate to see that happen.
The way I look at it right now is they got a 5 out of a possible 6 points.
Mm-hmm.
First 3 games of the season, I will take it. I'll take 6 out of 6, but that didn't happen. So I'll take 5 out of 6.
All right, fine. I guess I'll side with you.
As you should.
If I have to. But how much do you just want to pick up and hug that dog, by the way?
You look like a pretty cool dog.
Yeah.
That is the cool thing they're doing. So like they kind of have the dog for a little while, and then I imagine probably all the teams are doing something like this. But they have a dog for a little while, and then it goes back to training to become like a rescue dog.
Yeah, it's a vet dog. So it'll it'll be trained to go with a veteran who's kind of going through some like PTSD and some other things, and they'll look for signs for that people are getting anxious or whatever and try to calm them down. So it takes a very special kind of dog to do that, and the NHL I think is helping with each team getting a dog and kind of helping train it in those early stages of when it's just a cute little puppy.
You say so. No, I think this is a cool thing that the team is doing and other teams do, and I think it's nice that they have their own dog now.
Yeah.
I think the Brewers still have the coolest one because they just kind of like found the dog at their spring training and they were kind of like, ours now.
So let's move on and talk a little bit about, so we talked about it a little bit already, but Cousy, Kempney, both coming back this week. The Caps had to work around their cap space a little bit. You got to feel bad for Jonas Singenthaler because he had to go to Hershey for like a day and practice at Hershey and wasn't allowed to be on the ice.
Did he actually go down?
I would hope not.
I think it was just a paper transaction.
Yeah, I would hope.
To help them with some salary cap, which is so stupid that teams can do. Like, it's nice that it helps the Caps so they can get away with this stuff. But it's so dumb that you could be like, we've sent him down. Really? No, he's in his apartment. He's just hanging out. But yeah, he's on the Bears now. And then they bring him back up. Like, it's dumb.
He couldn't come up until after noon. And then Travis Boyd had to go. He had to pass through waivers.
Well, Boyd, I get, like, because he wasn't going to be playing, and you want the guy to play, so you send him down to Hershey because he can help them out. Because the reality is, Stevenson had a really good training camp. I like what I've seen from Leipzig and Hathaway.
Well, hold on real quick. Stevenson, I got to tell you, I mean, seeing him in the first 3 games, yeah, you can tell that dude has definitely spent his offseason in training camp working really hard. He did not have the greatest season last year, and he's coming out, you know, on full cylinders here. I mean, he's coming out and really showing off of what he can do. I think he knows he had a bad season last year. He's doing everything he can to fix that.
Yeah. I mean, he knows that his, you know, when he saw the move, my guess is if he wasn't already planning to do something about his game, he did it after he saw them sign Garnett Hathaway and Brendan Leipzig, whatever it is, Leipzig, who actually those guys both look pretty good. So Stevenson's still got a bit of a problem on his hands in terms of getting ice time. But we'll see. I always say this. We'll see how they do in terms of... my guess is there's going to be some sort of rotation between the three of them on that fourth line. But, you know, it seems like that fourth line really did well with Dowd and Leipzig and Hathaway during the Carolina game. Leipzig even has some moves offensively. So, it's a nice thing to see when you can have your bottom six guys producing. The roster needs to settle a bit with Kempe and Kuznetsov coming back. I think the team is going to settle, and then we'll see really what they have here.
What about your boy, Radko Gudas? What have you thought so far?
He's been okay, at best. You know, he's a little slow. That's not fair. But, he's there to be physical. I don't know if that's really as necessary because they have Hathaway who will be physical. You have Wilson. You know, the other Caps guys will step up. Ovechkin's not afraid to hit somebody. So I think he's here for the season and then gone. A friend of mine, Tyler, does not like him and wants him gone right now. And I was like, I don't see them doing that because I just think that sends a bad message to players around the league that will trade for you and then 2 months later trade you again. And I know that happens to some guys that are kind of not as good as Gudas or are just kind of journeymen. They get traded more often, which is kind of messed up because these are human beings, but it's kind of the reality of the profession that they're in. But I just don't see that happening, at least not until the trade deadline or around there, if they were going to move Gudas. But I don't think he's back next season.
Just a one and done. Okay,
that's my guess. I mean, he's also a free agent after the season.
Oh, yeah. So he's really got to show something if he wants to stay here. Because it seems like you got a lot of talent in Hershey defensively that could kind of take that spot.
Well, yeah. It's going to be interesting when everybody's healthy because you're looking at Kempe, Carlson, Orlov, Jensen, Gudas. Who am I forgetting?
Singenthaler.
And then you've got... I don't know how to say that guy's name. Then you have Martin
Fedorovati.
And then you've got Lewington, who's going to play tomorrow night. We'll see how he does. And you've got a couple other guys that probably want to come out and play at some point soon. So, yeah, I don't see Gudas coming back necessarily. I don't know after that.
It's going to be very interesting to see what happens, but I'm excited to see the lines kind of settle down a little bit, see where everyone's going to be for the majority of the season. Knock on wood, there's no injuries that really affect it too poorly. But overall, three games, like you said, 5 out of 6 points. I'll take it. 2 wins, 1 loss, unfortunately, at home. But very early season, and I think the boys are still getting comfortable. So, we'll see what happens going forward. But I think we've got some solid goaltending. We've got some solid forwards and the defensemen. Yeah, there's a little bit of work to do.
And now you just jinxed it.
A little bit of uncertainty there, but they're doing all right. So overall, you're happy?
I'm content.
Okay. That's good. Anything else we should cover in Caps World?
No, I don't think so. That's all my notes at the moment.
All right. Well, we don't have to take a break anymore. So we are now going to go down on the farm. All right, everybody. Now we are going down on the farm. We are talking Hershey Bears, which we kind of already have been, and South Carolina Stingrays. So Coach Dan, what's going on down on the farm?
Well, Hershey's season has not started the way they would have liked as they lost their first two games, both of them being at home, though they were both close games, and one of them was in overtime, I believe. They'll be going for the first win of the season on Saturday at Lehigh Valley, then a home game on Sunday at the Giants Center against Wilkes-Barre Scranton. Now, down in South Carolina, let me tell you what's been happening. Not a thing because their regular season doesn't start until Saturday in Orlando. So, yeah, that's what's going on down on the farm.
Are there any Caps players in South Carolina yet?
I have no idea because I didn't look.
Should we even be covering them on this Capitals-centric show?
Yes, because that's, I don't know, they're part of the organization. Hold on, I'm looking to see. I don't know how often do you find guys that are in the ECHL that eventually make it to the NHL?
JB.
I feel like, fair point. no, but I feel like usually when you have like young guys that are promising, they don't necessarily, that guy's got an interesting name. They don't necessarily play down there because they play in the juniors, or they play overseas and then they come over eventually. I'm looking at their roster right now and I don't recognize any of these names. I mean, some I recognize because of last season, but not right now. How do they have 14 goalies?
They're not actually. What?
No, they have like, because it's still the off or the preseason. They have 5 goalies on the roster, according to their website, which is far too many. They're all over 6 feet, you giants. Jesus.
Yeah, I don't know any of these names. Cameron Askew. I would just get that jersey for the name.
I'd sell down Kevin Smith.
He was at the wrestling show I went to on Wednesday.
I saw that. I saw he put something out on Twitter, and I was like, isn't that where Brandon is?
Yeah, that was wild. I mean, that was like my two worlds colliding. I've never seen that before. That's it's wild. Anyway, well, go Bears and Stingrays. Way to kick off a season. Do your thing. That's Down on the Farm. Now let's go around the NHL. Everybody, here we go. We are going around the NHL. So much going on. The international series actually kicked off as well. There's going to be some Pittsburgh Penguins that are missing some stars for a while. There's plenty going on around the NHL. So, Coach Dan, catch us all up.
What's happening? Don't really talk about injuries very often.
No, we don't.
But Malkin, it looks like he's out for quite a long time.
There's Malkin and another Penguin, I think.
Who cares? Screw them both. Anyways,
I shouldn't laugh at that, but
there are. Yeah, I know, right? Hugo Lloris. Anyways, there are quite a few signings that took place in the past few weeks, with a few of those being St. Louis and Braden Schenn agreed to an 8-year, $52 million deal that comes with a cap hit of $6.5 million. They also signed defenseman Justin Falk, who they recently acquired. Falk? Why did that sound weird? Did I say that right? Doesn't matter.
Moving on. Is that a bad word?
No. Close, but no. Falk. I don't know. It sounded weird the way I said it. They recently got him from Carolina. They signed him to a 7-year, $6.5 million deal. That's a cap hit. I wrote that wrong. Chicago signed forward Alex DeBrincat. He's got a fun last name. To a 3-year, $19.2 million deal. Comes with a cap hit of $6.4 million. I always find it entertaining when the cap hit or like the total amount of money they're making is like 0.2 or 0.7. You're like, at what point does someone go, excuse me, I need that extra $200,000 to be in there?
Right.
Like, how do you argue that with a straight face? Anyways, Calgary signed forward Matthew Tkachuk to a 3-year, $21 million deal. That's a cap hit of $7 million. Forward Patrick Laine in Winnipeg agreed to a 2-year extension worth a total of $13.5 million. That's a cap hit, comes to $6.75. There's a lot of talk that Laine might not want to be sticking around in Winnipeg, so we'll see what happens there. Apparently, they were feeling generous, that being Winnipeg, as they also signed Kyle Connor to a 7-year, $50 million deal. It comes to a cap hit of $7.14 million. Forward Mikko Rantanen got paid as Colorado gave him a 6-year, $55.5 million deal. That's a cap hit of $9.25 million a year.
Woo!
We're in the wrong line of work.
Correct.
And finally, Phoenix signed goalie Darcy Kempner to a 2-year, $9 million deal. That's a cap hit of $4.5 million. That's all the money from the past little bit in the NHL.
Wow, lots of stuff already happening. The season's so short already. I mean, that's crazy.
Everybody's got to lock their guys down.
Got to lock them down. So if you guys want to continue the conversation with Coach Dan or I, you can. It's real easy. All you got to do is tweet to either one of us. You can tweet to me at Brando Cash. Coach Dan, where can people tweet to you at?
You can find me on Twitter at WTP Coach Dan, talking all kinds of Capitals-related things, as well as how the Redskins need to fire Bruce Allen. He's a terrible executive and probably kind of a douche.
Who did they already fire today?
They fired head coach Jay Gruden, which I almost feel like if you're Gruden, you're like, thank you. Get me out of this mess. that you morons have created for everyone.
I heard that there was a rumor going around that Mike Tomlin, the Pittsburgh head coach,
So basically, the rumors came out, which does not surprise me at all, that Snyder and co. want to go after, this being the idiot Skins owner, they want to go after a veteran head coach. Within this article listed Tomlin, an assistant coach with someone, I think an assistant with someone else, and then like a younger coach. And I was like, so that's a misleading headline, because the only veteran head coach in that was Mike Tomlin, who probably would actually get a couple of wins out of the Skins. But they still suck, and I'm still a disgruntled fan, so screw them. However, the Bills are 3-1 right now, going into an early bye week.
Not looking bad.
Just a little annoying, but whatever. And I think if Josh Allen hadn't got a cheap shot and knocked out of that game, it would have been an interesting one versus the Patriots. And I wonder if they would have been able to come out with a win in that one. But anyways, because the Patriots were not playing well against the Bills, because the Bills defense had Tom Brady running for his life. Anyways, somehow that was finding me at WTP Coach Dan on Twitter. And hey, if you enjoyed our rambling, go ahead and check us out on Facebook at facebook.com/whatthepuckpod. It's where you can find out when new shows are coming out, as well as all sorts of things related to the Washington Capitals. As they break news, we eventually mention it on the Facebook page or on the show, or not at all, because we both have real jobs and forget to put stuff from time to time.
We got bills.
We do. We have bills and child care that we have to pay for, and it's stupidly expensive. But somehow, again, I've gotten off topic when trying to plug this something later to the show. That's facebook.com/whatthepuckpod. But Brandon, if they've enjoyed me going off topic, actually, they probably wouldn't have enjoyed that, but enjoy what you have been saying. Where can they find other things that you might be on?
You can go to brandocash.com, get all the information you're ever going to need about What the Puck and all the other podcasts that we do. If you're a Baltimore Ravens fan, you can check out The Call Podcast. It's another podcast I produce and co-host as well, so check that out over there. Now, we do the show for free. You listen, stream, and download for free on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, TuneIn, Player.fm, Overcast, and Google Play Music. All we ask in return is for you to please spread the word about the show. Let people know on Facebook and Twitter and Tumblr and Pinterest and Instagram and Reddit and Snapchat and Twitch, anywhere you are social on the web or with your phone. Say, I'm a Washington Capitals fan. I listen to What the Puck, and you should too. So let's go over the games until we talk again on Tuesday, October 8th. The Capitals are up against the Dallas Stars in Washington, D.C., and you can watch that locally on NBC Sports Washington or on ESPN Plus. And then on Thursday, October 10th, the Capitals are up against the Predators in Nashville. NBC Sports Washington is where you can watch that one. Saturday, October 12th, the Capitals up against the Stars again. That's an 8 o'clock start, and you can watch that on NBC Sports Washington. Monday, October 14th, the Capitals up against Colorado at 5 p.m. Oh, that's right. It's a holiday on Monday. 5 p.m. start, ESPN Plus, NBC Sports Washington. It's at home in D.C. Oh, I wonder if there's still tickets available for that game. And then on Wednesday, October 16th.
Welcome to the part of the show where Brandon and I are both tired.
On Wednesday, October 16th, the Capitals are up against the Toronto Maple Leafs, up against Austin Matthews and our Winter Classic, Stadium Series rivals, the Toronto Maple Leafs. That game starts at 7 p.m., and that's on NBC Sports Washington.
That's not a thing.
That's a thing. That's who we were up against.
No, it's not.
At the Navy Stadium in a windstorm.
No, I got that part. It's not a rival.
And it's
just the team they played. It's not a rivalry.
The Maple Leafs were dressed like Casper the Friendly Ghost. That would be very Halloween-y.
I don't even know how to describe it. They look stupid. Like, if it had snow, they wouldn't be able to see them.
We are the ice. We are here to confuse you. But we know who the sharp-dressed players were for the Washington
Capitals. You have to wonder if the players came into the locker room and were like, what is this?
I have to play in that? Are you serious? Austin Matthews injured himself so he wouldn't have to be seen in that. But that dude's embarrassing.
Jesus.
That dude's embarrassing himself enough on the off the ice this year already. So He can do that. But, hey, we know in that stadium series.
That is true.
That stadium series, the Capitals were the ones that were really showing off with the sweet, sweet jerseys there. They're not going away, Coach. They're not. I don't care what you say. All right. Well, that's it for the show this week. Thank you all for listening. We apologize that we are so I don't even know what the word is. Tired and don't really know. We can't really think of.
Oh, whatever. People tune in for our stupidity.
That's us. All right. Well, everybody, say it loud, say it proud. What's up, babes?
This has been a production of Brando Cash Entertainment. Music by DJ Wolfman. Voiceover by Sarah Jacks. For more information, go to brandocash.com.